Jesus. We ask for God that you speak to us tonight. We ask for a word in season. We ask that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Give Jesus a big clap of hands and you may be seated. That was a wonderful time with the youth choir. We'd have loved to continue, but we want to be able to be true on time so that we can move on into the next segment. Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome you tonight to this time in the program for the married people and the single people. We have been bombarded so much by many issues in homes, in marriages, and with single people. We are in a season and in a time such as it has not been before, where the issue of delay marriage, confusion to marry, has escalated. And also, marriages, challenges, people coming to a point where they say, I'm tired, I'm not ready to go ahead anymore. I need another life. I need to break out. And so on and so forth. These reactions and these emotions and these feelings are not God's will. He has created marriage to be a place of solace, a place of peace, a place of joy, a place where you are receiving constant affirmation, where you are receiving constant encouragement, where you are nurtured, where you are assisted, where there is mutual assistance to each other. And that is why marriage is for better and for worse, or for better and for best, as we say it here in our marriage joinings. I want somebody to know here today that Jehovah shall give a visitation tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, just by way of introduction, and then the senior pastor will be coming up to share the word with us. I'd like us to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 29, and then we'll read from verse 11. Let's take from verse 10. Genesis 29:10. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flocks of Laban, his mother's brother. Verse 11, and Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And the story continues. Now, we're going to jump all the way to chapter 30. I'm going to read from verse 1 till about verse 15. It's a bit of a long reading, but we're going to read it. And when Rachel saw that she bade Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead? Who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, going unto her, and shall bear her on your knees. So jump to verse 13. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed and call his name Asher. And then in verse 14, and Reuben, who is the first child of Leah, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And in verse 15, Leah got angry and she said unto her, is it a small matter that you have taken my husband? And wouldest thou also take away my son's mandrakes also? Listen to Rachel. And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. We can stop there. Or let's go. And no need. We can stop there. Praise the Lord. Because of our time, there's no need to read further. I want to look at something I title, Beware of Marrying Rachel. For both men and for women. What do I mean by that? The process by which Jacob encountered Rachel, and the process by which he married Rachel, and then the character of Rachel, is just something small that we'll extrapolate from today and see how we can apply it to our contemporary days. Number one I'd like to say is, don't marry for physical factors. Don't let physicality be the determinant of your choice in marriage. The Bible tells us Jacob came. You remember the story of Isaac's marriage? The Abraham servant that was sent, he went. The first thing he did was to pray. First of all, he received impartation from his father, an unction from his father. Then he went, and when he got to the city where he was to marry from the kindred, the first thing he did was to pray and ask God, let my journey be prosperous today. Jacob, we have no record of praying as far as marriage was concerned. He just took his journey and got into the land of the land where his mother's brother Laban was, and then he saw a beautiful girl at the well, and then he lifted up his voice and started crying. What was the purpose of the cry? I am overwhelmed with love. Have you seen young men before? Oh baby, I love you. My heart is just, I can't live without you. I can't sleep without, I can't breathe without you. You are the only sugar in my tea, the only mosquito in my net, it's so full of emotions. It's so full of emotions. There are young ladies that if the man, what they say, I don't want to anybody to say that her friend reported her. But have you seen some people's prayer requests for husband? He has to be tall, 6 foot tall. He should be fair, or he should be dark, depending on the girl's predilection. He should be a millionaire. He should have 6 cars. He should have XYZ. Has anybody seen any? Be honest now. You've seen that type, right? I didn't say you're the one that made the list. But you've seen that type with your friend. Wave again at me. I see you. All right? Not one, not twice, not three. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'm not saying anybody should marry an ugly person. And as a matter of fact, there's no ugly person in this world. Yes. When God completed the process of creation, he looked and he said, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. He made man. He said, it is good. In fact, very good. And so, the physical is not your number one consideration. Yes, you must value who you marry. In those days, we used to have young people that say, you are God's will for my life. If it's not that God said it, you are God's will for my life, I don't like you enough to marry you, that's another misnomer. That's another extreme. Yes, value the person, appreciate the person's physicality, like the person, like how the person is. I must tell you the fact, my husband tried, though, when he was to marry me, I was without form and void, though. I don't know how he did it. I wasn't bothered about guyness and all those kind of things, and I would just wear anything my father or my mother bought for me, and I'm off in the campus doing my academic work and just moving around and all that. And I had these thick glasses that was like Coke bottle and just moving. You know how you praise the Lord. But he saw beyond that. And at the end of the day, I think God decided to have a little mercy. And the end product was not that bad. So what else do we see in the arrangement of Jacob in marrying Leah? The second thing that we see is Jacob wasted 14 years of his life in the process of pursuing. I don't want to use the word the wrong person. I don't want to use that word, but there might have been a better option. He used 14 extra years of his life. And at the end of the day, he only began to be who he was meant to be after almost 21 years. That was when he began to own property. He began to earn. He began to become who he was meant to be on the basis of the fact that he went in the wrong direction. Number 2 point is, if you marry wrong, it might take you long to arrive at who you are meant to be. If you marry the wrong person, it might take you a longer time to arrive at who God meant for you to be. There are women that get married and they become a shadow of themselves. Their giftings, their talents, their beauty, their aspirations die. There are men that marry and they begin to go down in life and in destiny. So, beloved brothers and sisters, who you marry is so important for your life and your destiny. Like the senior pastor says, it can make your life or it can mar your life. It can decorate your life or it can damage your life. It's so very important. Now, as married people already, you feel you are married to the wrong person. What do we do? It is to do what we call damage control. You can't throw away the baby with the bath water. You bath the baby inside the bath. The bath water is dirty. You need to discard the bath water. You can't throw the baby away. You manage the baby in another facility, like on your legs, on your laps, or on the bed, on the couch, while you handle the bath bucket. You might find yourself now and say, this person, I made a mistake. But in that mistake, there was something that attracted you to that person. We were discussing with somebody the other day, and the only thing she could think of that was why she married the person was that he had a kind character. You can take the one singular character you have found, and you can build on it, and bring out the best in it. But beloved, every single time you find yourself confronted by the choice as young people of who to marry, you must put into consideration the fact that is this person going to help you to go further in life, in your future, or is this person going to stagnate you? What are the person's life's principles? What are the person's characteristics? And that's why we have said many times, marry from the kingdom of God. Marry among brethren. It doesn't just stop at that. Marry the person who speaks as you speak, who understands as you understand, who has the same values and the same principles and the same characteristics like you have. Number 3. Maybe I should rephrase my topic. Don't marry a person with the following characteristics. So that no Rachel says I preach against her. Praise God. Sir? Okay, sir. So, we're going to look at Rachel's characters. Some of the characters in the lives of Rachel. Which we are going to take out. And if you are a man, you are applying it to your to the female you want to marry. If you are a female, you are applying it to the male that you want to marry. Number one, in Genesis chapter 30 and in verse 1, where Rachel had not had children, she said to Jacob, said, give me children or I die. This takes us to the fact of the spirituality of the person that you marry. Your spiritual stance should be on the same level with whoever it is you are marrying. You don't marry down spiritually with the hope that you are going to help the person up. Over the years, we've seen young ladies that come and they say to us, we ask and he said, is the man born again? And he said, he's not born again, sha, but he goes to church. Those are two different things. A person, you are born again, you have a relationship with God, you need to be sure of that person's relationship with God so that you are on the same spiritual pedestal. anyone who is on the higher pedestal is easily drawn down by the person on the lower pedestal. And so if it is the man that is on a lower pedestal, it becomes easier for him to draw the woman down. But when the man is on a higher pedestal, it's easier to tow your wife along. And so it's very vital, especially for women, to ensure that you marry somebody who is on the same spiritual platform with you. Men, in marriage, it's your responsibility to help your wife spiritually. It's your responsibility to care for her spiritual life. Ensure that you are moving along with her. You guide her. You help her. You show her. You are part of her spiritual journey. And as this happens, I believe that the Lord shall grant us victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number two, we see in the life of Rachel that there's this issue of, do I call it the issue of I don't know what to call it. Common sense. I put it here. She lacks mentality. She lacks mentality. You see in verse 14, Reuben, the son of Leah, found mandrakes in the field. And he brought the mandrakes and Rachel asked Leah to give it to her. I'm told that mandrakes are some form of aphrodisiacs or so, and the implication of that was well known. It was a bit uncaring. It was a bit callous to ask her sister to ask this other lady to give her the mandrakes and not have the mandrakes to herself. And you must be very, very conscious of when you are in courtship. Be on the lookout. What is the character of the person? This brings us to the point of character. What kind of character are you able to live with? There is a teaching we had done some time ago about character and marriage, and then another one about love languages and marriage. For instance, you are a person who does not like to talk too much, and you must be conscious of the person you are marrying. Are you going to be able to cope with the level of talk that the person talks? Are you able to cope with some of the things that the person does? When we got married, my husband kept on, training and pruning. He says, you don't need to explain all the details. You don't need to greet everybody. I was a proper, complete sanguine. I had some melancholic characters, but the sanguine overrode it. And over the years, it has been highly mellowed down, and, I'm a bit calmer now. Praise God for that. And of course, you know that he was not a smiler. He didn't used to smile. He preaches now, making people laugh. He's, very outgoing, which has happened because of association. But before you marry, be sure that the characters you see and the temperaments you see are temperaments that you are able to cope with. I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about characters in this tonight's meeting, but we'll probably talk about it another day. Now, number three, under Rachel's the attributes in Rachel that we see was that she was selfish, she was self-centered, and she was manipulative. She was selfish, she was self-centered, she was manipulative. She told Leah, she said, okay, if you don't want to give me your son's mandrakes just for giving sake, all right, I will buy them from you by allowing you to have relationship with their shared husband for that day. That was some characteristics that were obvious. You see, beloved, in courtship, for instance, as you are watching the person, be observant of character. Be observant of, is this person all about me, myself, and I? Are you going to be able to cope with that kind of attribute when you enter the marriage? Me, myself, and I? These are very important things that you need to take note of. There are men that care only about themselves. They don't care about their wives. They don't care about their children. There are men that can, they are on their way back home, they will branch suya spot, eat the suya by themselves, be full on the meat, and then they go back home to join the children to eat meatless soup, watery liquid soup, because that's all the money that was made available for the mother to cook for the family. Your consideration of your spouse is a very vital attribute that is important to make marriage work. Marriage is the successful working of two people. If you think about only yourself, if you are only considerate about your own self, that marriage will have challenges. You should be able to put yourself in the shoes of your husband. Put yourself in the shoes of your wife. If I were this woman, how would I feel? How would I fare? And then you make sure that if you don't want to feel bad or fare bad, you relate with that person in that line. Praise the Lord. I will move on to the next point, which is the fact that do we call this covetousness or greed or stealing? In that verse, chapter 30, verse 14, let's read that. Verse 14, he says, I didn't write this down now. Let me just check for that. Where she went and they were going to, they were journeying back, and Rachel had taken her father's images and put them, she had taken them in chapter 31 and verse 19. Chapter 31 and in verse 19 it says, and Laban went to share his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and then later Laban came over and caught up with Jacob, who was with young children, so he couldn't push the caravan as fast as a person riding on, alone on a horse was. And he said, okay, if you are going, why did you steal my idols? Why did you steal my images? And eventually it was discovered that it was Rachel that had stolen the images. She did not believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That takes us to point number 5. She lacked spirituality. She lacked the spirituality of Jacob. She lacked the spirituality of the lineage of Jacob. Now, you remember, Jacob was a young man who knew his place spiritually. He was a young man who understood his place in the sphere of in the realm and in the sphere of the genealogy of Abraham and Isaac, and he was able to wangle his way when he saw that Esau was an unserious young man, and he got the birthright, and we now say the genealogy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that much, but he was not conscious of it before he married. He did not marry a woman that could carry the weight of the responsibility that he was to carry. He did not put that into consideration before he married that wife. He needed to have married somebody who had an understanding of his, what do I call it, his placement, an understanding of who he was. Many people don't know who they are, and so they might end up marrying anyhow. But Jacob in particular knew who he was. He knew who he was. He knew his placement, and he didn't put that into consideration before he married. Beloved brothers and sisters, know who you are. And when you have known who you are, put it into consideration when you are picking a wife or you are accepting a husband to marry. A vulture cannot be connected to an eagle and have a safe flight. A chicken cannot be connected to a kite and have an equal movement. You cannot join a cow to a horse and expect them to move at the same speed. If you are a horse material, get yourself another horse. If you are a cow material, get yourself another cow. The two have their importance and their relevance. If there are no cows, we wouldn't see the milk and the leather and all the things that cows produce, including meat. In the same way, horses are used for battle, they are used for races and all that. So who you are determines who you should link yourself up with. I believe that the Lord shall grant us great help and great intervention in the name of Jesus Christ. And then finally, I'll be looking at the fact that you must marry for the future. Marry for your future, not for your present. Marry for your future, not for the present. Marry for the long run, not for the immediate. Marriage is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is not a one-day affair. You don't enter into marriage with option two. There is no alternative. It's a one-way journey. It's a one-way traffic as far as the will and the intention of God is concerned. So if you're already noticing things now and you are not yet married, this is when to help yourself and help your future. If you're already married and you didn't know this and you're already in it, make up your mind that together you are going to make the future to count. When people fail in marriage, when the husband and the wife are not able to put things together, the major people that suffer are the children. I heard of a young girl, I think age 13, 14 or so, and on the verge of despondent, wanting to commit suicide because of issues of father and mother. We hear of all manner of things. We hear that in America, the majority of inmates in prisons are products of failed marriages. Beloved brothers and sisters, I believe that there are a couple of other things, but we're going to stop now. Please, can you rise up on your feet as we lift up our hands and ask God, Father, help me. Help me, oh God, to make it in marriage. Help me, oh God, in my choice of who to marry. Help me, oh God. If there is any issue now, help me, oh God. Give me the wisdom to walk it through, to walk around it. Give me the wisdom, oh God, and the patience, oh God, to accommodate the things that I see that are not working in my spouse so that we can make it work. Lift up your voice and pray. Ask God for His help today. Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, grant me wisdom. Oh Lord, grant me your grace. In the name of Jesus.
Father, we give you the praise and the honor for that word tonight. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand and take your seat. If you are blessed by that message, believe that you have not misunderstood the title. In case you are here, she already amended it. In case you are here tonight and maybe your name is Rachel and you are not yet married, and they say, beware of marrying Rachel. So does it mean that nobody should marry me? No. The theme is beware of marrying before you have the time to think and pray. Don't rush into a marriage you have not thought about and you have not prayed about. When Bible characters are mentioned in some negative sense and you bear the name, it is not necessarily dealing with the identity but the characteristic. For example, when we deal with Samson, it's not the name that has the challenge. Because we have a lot of Samsons here right now who are correct people. It's not the name that has the issue, but the character of the particular Samson. Am I communicating at all? And if we talk about David is such a good person. But we also saw some things that went wrong at certain times. So please bear that in mind. Tonight, I want to quickly speak on the subject, marriage. What are you up to? That is, in your desire to be married, what are you up to? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The Lord bless his word. What are you up to in marriage? For those who are trusting God to be married, and for those who have already married, what are you up to? What do you want? What brought you into marriage? What are you looking for in marriage? Because people marry for different reasons. And I will enumerate some reasons that you know. First, there are those who marry because they are up to the age of marriage. I am 25, I am 26, I am 30, getting to 35. Age is not on my side. I have to marry. Two, there are those who marry because they are unable to control themselves to fulfill fleshly desires. So there is not no responsibility beyond that. They are not going to do anything beyond that. They are not going to do anything beyond that. They don't care for you beyond that. They don't. You don't mean a thing to them beyond whatever happens between you and them in the bedroom. No, they don't care a thing. There are those who want to marry thirdly because they want a change of title. I am tired of Miss. I want that MRS. Mrs. At any cost. For your information, I am Mrs. See my finger, see my ring. Fourth, there are those who want to marry because they are tired of fending for themselves. They want to marry because they need somebody to now start fending for them, taking care of them. Somebody who will carry their burden. Somebody who will sponsor their expenses. Somebody needs to pay the next house rent. Unfortunately, this applies to both categories of people. There are young men whose ambition is to marry a rich girl or a girl from a rich family. Am I communicating? In that case, it was not the girl they married, it was their father they married. When they come and they say, I'm looking for your hand, looking for the hand of your daughter. It's not the daughter, it's you. I want to marry you, sir. To marry you. And marry your money. Did I tell you a funny story before? One young man some time ago, and he said that God sent him to me. I said, for what? He said, for so I can help him in life. I said, so what do you want me to do? He said, number one, I should give him money for ministry. I said, how much? He said, 30 million or 40 million. What else? He said, and I should give him one of my children as his wife too. Is it only money I should give you and give you one of my children? Carry me. Just carry me, see me, carry me. Carry me, Gabadaya. Anything you want, do with me. People are bold, though. You see my eye like this. Am I communicating? So it happens. It happens on both sides. I asked a young man about 30 years ago. Okay, let's say 24 years ago. He was a manchello at that time. Manchello, not bachelor. A bachelor is a young man trusting God to be married. A manchello is a fully matured man. That if he had married on time, his child should be thinking of marrying now. But he's still a bachelor. So the man was a manchello. And I can tell you the reason why he was here. He's been a manchello. I told him, I said, so you have not married. What's happening? He said, oh, he's looking. He doesn't want all these suffering girls. All these sufferhead kind of girls. He wants to marry a working class lady. Lady already has her car, already has her house. I said, look at you. All right, okay, yes, I think I should buy a car for the man too. It's part of what he had, and also, I think he do. Yes, Sylvester, you are the one who brought the man. Yes, I should buy the car for him, and also a two-bedroom flat, yes. He wants to marry me, it's me he wants to. Praise the Lord. So it happens on both sides. Number five, there are those who want to marry to show those who disappointed them. Those wives, I want to marry you. I've been waiting since. Will you agree to marry me? Since. What have you been waiting for? I've been here since. Under 3 weeks, marriage has been organized. He met the man today. 3 weeks' time. Because somebody must, he must prove to somebody that you can't deal with me like that. You will never be in that position. Nobody will ever deal with you not to be talk of being in that position. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. They want to show those who disappointed them that they can be married. So anyone who comes along, they don't verify nothing. They go ahead. Number six are those who want to show pity to someone by marrying them. Some marry, they want out of just pity. Where someone approach you and say, oh, look at me. In fact, I don't know, life is not fair at all. Oh, brother, what are you talking about? Oh, sister, why are you talking like that? See how I am now. When I was an unbeliever, I did an abortion that removed my womb. What is the future for me? What is the hope for me? Is that why you are talking like that? Don't worry. God is on the throne. What do you mean by God is on the throne? You are going to marry a correct wife. See me here. Who will marry me? And the brother wants to show that he is a rugged brother. I will marry you. Offering himself as a sacrifice. If God said that that is his wife, they will have children. Pastor Guji, is that correct? That somebody's womb can be removed and can still be pregnant from experience. Am I communicating? If that is the will of God, it is possible. But to offer yourself as a sacrifice out of pity, you are only digging a pit of frustration. It's not worth it. God does not function that way. You do the best you can and leave the rest for God. You are not God. You cannot be God, and you must never play the role of God in the life of anybody. Otherwise, as they threw Jonah into the water, people would have jumped into the water with him. Say, let's die together. No, that's not what God wants. The God who allowed Jonah into the water will take care of him there. Am I communicating at all? These are common things that people have passed through, and then they just pity someone into marrying. It happens on both sides. It happens on both sides. It is not pity that gives you a wife or a husband. It is God that gives you a wife or a husband. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Are you ready for number seven? Is anybody watching me from Europe and from America? Those who want to get travel document. There are those who marry because they want to get travel document, permanent residence, or paper to settle, arrangement marriage, just because. Oh yeah, the man is a, the woman is a Canadian citizen, is a British citizen, is an American citizen. If I marry her, automatically I become an American. Really? How shall it profit a man if he becomes an American citizen or British citizen because of marriage? And signs for a lifetime of frustration. Number eight, Dr. Mrs. Enenche mentioned that there are those who marry because they don't want to disobey God, in quote. You know what that means? They disobey God is quote and unquote. Because somebody is bullying them with prophecy. Thus says the Lord, Sister Janet or Mary or Wakego. The Lord says that Brother Nicodemus is your husband. If you refuse him, you are on your own. How many of you sisters here have heard? There are some sisters here. You are one, but five people saw vision clearly from heaven. You are only one. This one said, God should. I saw the kind of revelation, and I hear God clearly. Every time God speaks, I am more sure of it than my name. We were marching on the altar, and the angel of the Lord said to me, that is, behold your wife. Don't let anybody snatch her from you. Hold her. Don't let her go. Then here shows up another brother. You see, my own, I was on a 3-day fast when I saw heaven open. Then a paper fell down. When I picked it, it was our wedding certificate. The other one comes and says, I saw in a vision, it was very, very clear. A marriage ceremony was on. They said I should unveil a sister. And as I lifted up the veil, behold, you are the one. Five people, one person. I know of polygamy, but polyandry? With divine origin? Is God the author of confusion? Where cometh this vision from? Out of the abundance of the heart. You have been thinking of the sister, and then you fell into a personal trance. Don't let anybody use God, says the Lord, to force you into marriage. Neither allow nobody prophesy you into any kind of marriage. Because God will never ask you to marry whom you don't love and whom you don't have any feeling and affection and nothing for. It can't happen. God cannot violate his principles. God is love. Husbands, love your wife. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. This is very, very important. Please take your seat. Having said all of that, what then is marriage about? What are you up to? This is important because in Luke chapter 14 verse 28, Luke chapter 14 verse 28, the Bible said, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. You want to build a tower. You want to build a home. You want to build a family. You want to build a destiny. God says, sit down. And organize, orchestrate, calculate what you are looking for. I prophesy to somebody tonight, you shall not miss it in marriage. You see, that prophecy is a prophecy, and if you receive it, God will turn it into your reality. I prophesy to somebody today, you will not miss it in marriage.
In the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ the resurrected Lord. The devil that will divert your life and destiny into the wrong relationship is not found anywhere. For those already married, I prophesy to you a new release of marital wine, a new release of marital dignity, a new release of marital harmony is on you now.
Take your seat. What is marriage about? Number one, the fulfillment of divine purpose and destiny for one's life. The fulfillment of divine purpose and destiny for your life. Who are you marrying? Who have you married? Who are you marrying? You are marrying someone who is a part of your purpose on earth. Who is a part and parcel of your destiny on earth.
Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 18. We read it already. He said, therefore shall a man, and the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make an help meet for him. And then out of the ground he did all that. And then the man shall leave his father and mother. Verse 24. And be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one.
The one you have married or you are marrying is a part and parcel of your purpose and destiny on earth.
If you can't imagine this man in your future, he's not your husband.
If you can't imagine this girl in your future, he's not your wife.
If you can't imagine this man in your life's assignment, if he does not fit into the picture of your life, the picture of your future, the picture of your life's purpose, you're about to step into something wrong.
The fulfillment of divine purpose and destiny for one's life.
And if you are already married, the meaning of that is that person in your life is there to be assisted to fulfill purpose. That person in your life is there to be assisted to fulfill destiny.
You bring out the best out of your wife and the best out of your husband. The fulfillment. And I said here, marry someone who is a part of your life's purpose and destiny.
When you find the one who is your wife or your husband, when you begin to talk, it appears as if you have known each other forever. When you begin to talk, there is a reverberation. There is a nexus. It's like a brother you missed or a sister you have not seen for a long time, and you are talking because there is a divine purpose and destiny that appears to be one.
What I'm saying now is the reason why many people are frustrated today in the name of marriage. They don't see the person in their lives. It's like a square peg in a round hole. They can't picture this person in their scheme of things yet, because it is time to be married and a man has come. Let us marry.
And then before you can say, praise the Lord, I don't like the man, the man doesn't like me. No. The fulfillment of divine purpose and destiny for one's life. Number two is the union of vision. Marriage is the union of vision. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? It's the union of visions. It is two visions became one. And I have said it forever. No one is qualified for your association until they are going in your direction. And this is even for friendship relationship. Not to talk of a whole marriage. That no one is qualified for your association until they are going in your direction. Two cars going in different directions cannot move in a convoy. No one is qualified for your association until they are going in your direction. And it is not hard to know what a man's vision is. Just make them talk for a while. You begin to get out of the abundance of the heart, their mouth speaks. and you begin to understand that, you know, in relationship you can actually ask what's your future like? What are you thinking about? What do you see your life becoming? Where do you see yourself in the next 5-10 years? They begin to talk and you begin to understand. The union of vision. Husband, wife. When you have a vision and your wife has her vision, it is called division. Division. Two visions. Number three, marriage is the synergy of energy. The synergy of energy. The pulling together of life's energy. The pulling together of life's resources. The pulling together of life's ability. And it is the synergy of energy that guarantees the fulfillment of destiny. The synergy of energy that guarantees the fulfillment of destiny. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and in verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and again, if they lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Your energy and your wife's energy poured into your family, poured into your assignment, poured into your destiny, poured into the destiny of your children. Then marriage happens. Number four, marriage is the sharing of responsibility. The sharing of responsibility. The dignity of the harmony is in the sharing of responsibility. The dignity of the harmony is in the sharing of responsibility. That is, there is something that is expected of the man, and there is something that is expected of the woman. Again, there is something expected of the husband, and there is something expected of the wife in the home. When you are talking about the woman, you are talking about matrimony and maternity. Marriage, her husband, and then her children. Right? There is the sharing of responsibility. This is what the man is to do, and this is what the woman is to do. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, if you take it from verse 22 all the way to verse 26. The sharing of responsibility. This is my own. That is your own. It does not exist in marriage. And let that happen with understanding. I don't have one checkbook that is in my possession now. Church checkbook is with the church office and the accounts department. Personal checkbook is with my wife. There is nothing I have in this world she doesn't know. Except what I have that I'm not yet aware of. Do you understand? All right. And that sets me free from every manner of pressure of any sort. I'm living my life. The sharing of responsibility. I've seen where people are living, like where the Bible says the two are one, where the people are individuals and individuals sharing the same roof. It will never be your portion. It's the sharing of responsibility. Number five, marriage is the practice of love. The practice or the practicality of love. God gave marriage to us as a love laboratory, theater. The practice of love, where you prove your affection. I want to say this, and I don't want you to forget it for life. There can be love outside of marriage. For example, I love the brethren. I love my children. I love my blood relations. There can be love outside of marriage. But there can never be marriage outside of love. That this is marriage and love is not in it. It turns into wreckage. Marriage minus love equals wreckage. There are those who have wrecked themselves and wrecked other people's children in the name of marriage. You can't be nice and friendly to everybody except your wife. Are you a tiger or a lion or what are you? You can't be nice and friendly to everybody except your husband. You submit to your boss in the office, to everybody, hostile to your husband at home? No. It looks like there are so many people who have misrepresented and misunderstood what marriage is all about. Never marry anybody you are not willing to love for life. Marriage will give you ample opportunity to confirm your love life. Opportunity to give, to forgive. Opportunity to apologize and receive apologies. Opportunities. He will give you plenty. It's a practice of love. My counsel to anybody: if you don't love anybody's daughter, instead of killing them, hand them back to their father. Divorce is not allowed under any condition. But this is what I believe: it is better to be alive and there is no marriage than for you to die because of marriage. A killer marriage is a nonsense marriage. And I'm not talking of physical killing. There are people who can finish their wife or husband emotionally, psychologically, mentally. This woman is a shadow of her life. This man is not a man anymore. Hypertension, ulcer, pressure, arthritis, because of a useless personality in the name of a husband or a wife. That's my belief. Nothing is by force in life. You are tired of it, declare it with your mouth instead of behaving it like a mumu. No, if Jesus calls somebody, say, go and tell that fox. He told somebody, say, thou fool. So there are occasions. I'm coming to that shortly. I speak these things with a passion because there are people who behave as if it is stone they are living with, not human beings. You woke up in the morning, your wife greets you, get quiet. Husband give it. Even dog, they talk to each other. Do you know that elephants have language? Am I communicating? There is a way they interact with you. You are not an animal now. Beloved brothers and sisters, I prophesy to you today, help from above is coming your way. One young lady in relationship with a man, the man beat the hell out of her. They have not married yet. Black eye, bruises. What happened to you, sister? Trailer jam you? A man she has not married. Then the man is begging, please help me. This is what spoiled all my other relationships. Maybe you can help me correct it. What? I should help you correct what? You kill me to correct you. Correct yourself before you come. Huh? If the Holy Spirit cannot help you, I'm not the Holy Spirit. Correct yourself before you come. Somebody say amen. It is the platform for the practice of love. Number 7 or 6 now. The bedrock of support and safety. That is what the home is. It's the bedrock of support and safety. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9, where we read. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and in verse 9. two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not one another to help him.
When he falls, your relationship, a major assignment is to keep your husband on his feet spiritually. Keep your wife on her feet, not on the ground.
Keeping your wife on her feet, keeping your husband on his feet spiritually, morally, otherwise,
is your duty.
You don't contribute to their crash. That which you are complaining about in the home now is one of the assignments that you have on your wife. There are those who present their wives to the world for crucifixion. There are those who are primitive enough to present their wife in front of their own children, her own children, and be insulting the hell out of the wife. What a useless existence. And every man that is here, the worst thing you can do to your children is to dishonor their mother in their front. You don't know what you are generating in their heart against you until they grow up. The worst you can do to your children is to dishonor their mother in their front. In their front. If you did anything against her in the closet, they don't know. Then they don't care. But in their front. You don't understand that the bond between the mother and the child, whether it's a man child or a woman child, is stronger than the bond between the man and the child. Whether you have a masculine ego, it doesn't matter. Humble yourself and understand that. Humble yourself and understand. An umbilical cord connected them for 9 months. The woman fed her through the cord for 9 months. Gave her oxygen, or him oxygen, for 9 solid months. That connection is not easily broken. And to worsen it, he placed her on her breast. Suck breast for some 1 year, some 9 months. The connection is too strong to just come and say, do you know I'm the man of the house? Go and get pregnant. So you can show your power. Go and get pregnant. Carry pregnancy for 9 months. Go into labor, deliver. Then you can show that you are a powerful man. You can do and undo. If most men pass through labor twice, once, I tell you, the population will end. Because they won't go to labor ward twice. And there you are, talking to this woman that the boy value the children. Whatever you think is your opinion in the eyes of those children is you are it's just your opinion. Whatever, provided you have married that man or that woman, that which you call a concern is your assignment on that life, and vice versa. This is what if you are not ready for this, don't marry. That's why I'm asking, what are you up to? When you say marriage, what are you up to? If you marry a man or marry a woman, you have assignment. I mean, no matter how good they are, they come in, there is still assignment to do. I'm not talking of the one who is beating you before marriage. I'm not talking of that one. Am I communicating at all? Please, I'd like you to hear it. If we can understand this truth and understand this rugged truth, it will make the world of difference in our lives. And the worst a woman can do to her children is to dishonor their father in their front. It is the bedrock of support, of safety. Don't join people to attack your wife. Don't join people to attack your husband. behaved like the man who is drunk on the road. He fell into the gutter. Behaved like the children of that man. And people are insulting the man there and they stood up. Don't insult my father like that. And then they arranged the man from the pit and dragged him to the house. Lay him down, cover him. When he wakes up in the morning, say, Papa, please now, don't shame us like this in this village. Please. They are dealing with their father in the closet, not in the public. When others are attacking him, they are resisting the attack. When they get, that's how to do it. Your wife, your husband does anything, it's not you support and strengthen them and handle them at home. It is the bedrock of support and safety. That is what we are gunning for in marriage. And number 7, it is the facilitation of victory. Marriage is the place where victory is facilitated. The meaning of that is, victory is assured where the matrimony is in order. It's assured. He said, from verse 10 of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he said, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone. When he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if they lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. That is, whatever is fighting your wife is fighting you too. So you stand with your wife to fight that challenge. You stand with your husband to fight that challenge. The way Isaac took the barrenness of his wife as a personal matter. The Bible said Isaac went before God to entreat for Rebekah his wife. That's not what we do in Africa. If you don't give me children, I'm going to marry another wife. That was not what Isaac did. Isaac went before God. Lord, this is my personal challenge. And God heard. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. He prayed. Genesis 25:21. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. You stand to win battles on behalf of your partner. Nabal was almost a dead man. David had drawn his sword until Abigail cried and intercepted premature death through the sword of David for Nabal. Victory. Don't let that battle be your wife's battle. Don't let that battle be your husband's battle alone. Let it be a joint battle. You fight it together. And then you win it together. That is marriage. What are you up to? Are you ready to fulfill destiny with that man? With that woman? Are you ready to unify your vision? Are you ready to synergize your energy? Are you ready to share responsibility? Are you ready to practice love? Love laboratory. Are you ready to provide support and safety? Are you ready to facilitate victory? Rounding off, this is my counsel. Number 1. Don't just marry. Possess a clear understanding and vision of what marriage is about. Don't just marry. Possess a clear understanding, clear vision of what marriage is about. If possible, look at godly marital role models. See their life, see their future, see what they do, see how they function. What you see ahead is what you get in the future. Number 2, the marriage process must be preceded by a high spiritual impute.
high spiritual impact. Because marriage is more spiritual than physical. Again, the marriage process must be preceded with high spiritual impute. Because marriage is more spiritual than physical. If they say the two are one, that is a mystery. That's a mysterious thing. It's not a natural physical thing. Don't just rush because you saw a man. Not everything that glitters is gold. Everything inside water is not fish. Everything flying in the sky is not bird. Don't just rush. You might see the content, but the container, but you don't know the content. Fine-looking people can carry ugly-looking content. You may not know. You may see the moment, but you don't see the future. Number three, walk to make marriage work. Nothing works until someone goes to work. Walk to make your marriage work. Nothing works until someone goes to work. Husband, wife. And those of us who are not yet married, this is a counsel for the future. Number four, make your home the birthplace of destiny. Great destinies. In the union of Joseph and Mary, a great destiny, Jesus of Nazareth came. Elizabeth and Zechariah, another great destiny by name, John the Baptist, the wife of Jochebed, gave birth to Samson. The birthplace of destiny. Let your wife be a great woman. Look at the Shunammite woman. Let your husband be a great man because you are in his life. Let your children be great children. Let that family be a fertile ground for greatness. And you know that nothing great can come out of disorder. Nothing great can come out of anarchy. There is no progress in times of war. When all you have is a battleground as a family, you have a war instead of a home, futures are minimized. Finally, make your home a safe haven for your family. Safe. Make it the closest place to heaven on earth for your family. Safe haven. Let the home be where children are eager to come to, happy to stay, where the wife is happy to return, where the husband is happy to return. Don't call yourself a husband if your children are afraid of you. And I'm not saying if your children respect you, there is a reverential fear. That's different. Don't call yourself a father. Don't call yourself. I told my children, I said, anything you want, ask me. What I can't give you is either what I don't have, or maybe I think that is you are not due for it at this time. For example, if a 15-year-old says, give me a car, I can't give you a car because you can't have a car now. And I did that deliberately so that they can understand how to approach Father in heaven without shrinking back. There are those whose spiritual relationships have been affected because of their relationship with their earthly parents.
They can't ask their father anything, so they can't ask God anything. Prayer is a difficulty. Because everything is impossible with their father. All things are impossible. So with the Heavenly Father, everything is impossible. You don't know the damage you do to your children by being a brutal father. By being a heartless warlord. There are children who don't want to marry any man. In fact, all they want is to be hostile against every man. Because of how terrible a father they have. A woman ran away with her children from her husband's home with two children for almost 7 to 8, 9, 10 years. Now the man hasn't sighted the children. What is the excuse? The woman said her husband reminds her of her father. See, and how brutal and terrible her father was is how she sees this. Well, the husband hasn't behaved to the extent, but you remind me of my father. That's all. Don't damage the future of that innocent generation because you'll give account to God. Women, the same thing. A man told me some time ago, he said, my mother, no mortal human being can live without a woman. Hello? He said, my mother, no mortal human being can live without a woman. That is not husband or children. No mortal can live without a woman. No mortal. I'm not exaggerating. That is the word, mortal. If the person can breathe, he can't live with her. Let your house be a safe haven. If you come to our house by His message, just cracking jokes and rolling, just laughter. I still carry my guy on my back, even though he's almost taller than me now. Yes, back. Want me to carry you? Back. Let's go. Am I communicating? Freedom, liberty. Daddy, wake me up in the night. Okay, what time? 2 a.m. Okay. Daddy, me too. What time your own? 3 a.m. That is, they don't expect me to sleep. I don't know whether they think I'm a spirit. The first time my hand, I saw knife, I think I was trying to get something and I cut my hand a little and it was bleeding. My daughter opened her eyes. Said, eh? You bleed too. But there are cases where no way. The father is coming, the child is dodging. Sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Apologizing without doing nothing. Stand up on your feet. If you have come out of that home, God is telling you, be an improvement on your history. Make up your mind that what you pass through, your children will never pass through. What your mother passed through, your wife never passes through. If you are the woman, you are going to trust the Lord. Lord, help me to have a home that is unlike what I grew up to see. And I want to announce to someone here tonight, God, listen, the other day I was telling someone, I said, I am tired of people, someone coming to me and say, I'm tired of marriage. I'm tired of it. I am not a nonentity. I can't pastor a nonentity. I am not a marital failure. I can't pastor your failure of marriage. I can't. To talk like that is a confrontation of what we stand for. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Do everything you can. Make it work. It's workable. It's beautiful. It's sweet. And if I have said anything, nobody should fear and tell his wife, you see, it was you pastor was preaching about. Everything, in fact, almost everything.
You know, people behave like that. One woman told me, said, after a message like this, the husband will sit her down for another 3 hours to preach out of the message.
Can you just confirm that this message is particularly you? Just okay. Point number 7, the B part.
As some women will take the husband, take the tape, listen to it. You will see yourself inside. You will hear the description of yourself. Don't do it like that. You just worsen the situation. You just worsen the hostility. Love covereth a multitude of sins. You know, in love. Yes, the person is guilty as charged. But you don't rub it in. I believe that the Lord will help us. Before 2021 is over, anybody that is up to the age of marriage that is not yet settled, your correct husband is arriving. Your correct wife is arriving.
Anybody that ever made a mistake and you are regretting, God will assist in correcting your mistakes. Can you say a louder amen? Everyone who has had a marital error in one way or the other, receive the help of God in the name of Jesus. Somebody will say, but how will it happen? I don't know. With God, all things are possible. Everyone who has an ancestral curse, a generational curse, anti-marital spirit that is preventing you from being established in marriage, I am anointed to announce to you that spell is broken. I pray for someone here. Everyone who is a victim of scarcity and shortage and empty handedness, today I declare that spell is broken.
Every family passing through a struggle, battle, frustration, the battle is over. Everyone trusting God for a better home, better harmony, better love, it is released right now. Everyone in confusion in relationship, may God give you clarification so that you don't end with the wrong relationship.
Everything that is a desire in your heart maritally, may God do it for you. Those widowed and anything like that, may God give you a new beginning. Jesus, what your parents suffered in their marriage, you will never suffer it. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. And give him the worship. Supremacy, dominion, rule and sovereignty. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Was anybody blessed by tonight? Do you look forward to the March edition of this program? Please kindly inform all friends and loved ones and those watching online next time be here in person.
Before I go, that Africa is filled with a lot of curses, especially anti-marital. Hardly will you see homes, you know, and polygamy, divorce, all manner of things. I want a short 5 minutes, curse breaking, renouncing.
There are those who are just charging against their wife and husband
without, as if it's insanity. Demonic, some forces. Say, you are too quiet, you have been quiet for 5 days, charge now.
Madam, come! Where's my food? Where's my food? Be careful with yourself.
that ancestral spirit say, move now. Then after say, why am I angry with my wife? What did she do? Then after 7-8 days, say, are you a sheep? Who is the man in this house? Wake up, man. Hey! You there with your big head. Run here fast. Do you know there are people who resign from work without being sacked? And after they resign, they regret. And they have done, say, 14 times. I got a good job. I used my hand to resign. Only when I resign, I realize, why did I resign? Those are the kind of forces we contend with in Africa. They happen also in marital relationships. Man is a tiger. Wife is a tigress. Only God has prevented them from killing each other. Dr. Miss Enenche, take your position there and help. Just 2 minutes. Covenant breaking. Covenant. Polygamous, all those kind of things. The anti-marital spells. Covenant breaking. Lift up your hands. Before this covenant is broken, please be up standing everywhere you are. Before this covenant breaking is done, many of us are going to have encounters overnight and it will translate into divine intervention in our homes. Before that covenant breaking happens, if you are here tonight, you feel like giving your life to Jesus, rededicate your life to God. Maybe you are in a marital relationship and that relationship is already defiled. And you want to lay a fresh foundation. Lord, I need help. I am sorry for starting on the wrong foundation. Anyone that is like that, pick your Bibles and your bags and step forward here. Beyond that, you want to be genuinely born again or rededicate your life to Jesus or have Jesus as Lord. God bless you. Give us a song while they come. I'll give you the count of 7. Then we'll do the covenant renouncement. 1.
I have just one life to live. And it must glorify.
Come with your Bibles and your bags.
And for all eternity.
3.
I have just one life to live. And it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord.
4.
And for all eternity.
Lord, I want. Lord, I want
to know you.
To know you more.
Lord, I want.
I have just one life.
I have just one life to live.
And it must glorify you. I am yours, O
Lord.
And for all
eternity.
Yes, Lord. Place your right hand on your chest. All right. Let me pray for you on this one first. Place your right hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it louder, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person, Lord. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you right now. I declare the hold of sin broken on your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you. I call it done.
Of polyandry, every curse that makes me be attracted to many women at the same time. Today, you curse of polygamy. I renounce you. I denounce you. I disconnect myself from you. You curse that makes me attracted to many men at the same time. I renounce you. I denounce you. I disconnect myself from you. In the name of Jesus. Every lack of wisdom. Every inability to care for a home. or to care for a family, as a man or as a woman, working against me, I renounce that satanic curse. I disconnect myself from you. And now, every spirit husband, I divorce you in the name of Jesus. Every spirit wife, I divorce you in the name of Jesus. Every spirit lesbian or homosexual demon, I divorce you in the name of Jesus. I am in the physical. I have no business with a spirit husband or a spirit wife. I set myself free from you. Now, in Jesus' name, I disconnect myself from spirit children. I will have my children in the physical. I disconnect myself from marine spirits, from serpentine spirits, from occultic covenants and satanic covenants and witchcraft monitoring spirits against my life. I disconnect myself from you now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Give the Lord a praise. I see you clapping. Now, everybody lift up your hands. Tell God what you want Him to do with your marital life. Tell Him, Lord, give me that husband after your heart to fulfill the kind of thing your servant just preached. Father, resettle and reestablish me. For those who have had marital accidents, help me, Lord. Give me a new beginning, a new foundation. Help me with a new future. For those trusting for the fruit of the womb, let this be my visitation. Speak to God. You will be shocked what God will do. In Jesus' precious name, lift your hands and say after me, say, Father, I ask for forgiveness in situations of premarital sex and their consequences. I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Give me a second chance to do it right. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, lift up your hands. Have you spoken to God and told Him what you want? For being here tonight, I will trust God with you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, which is Worship and Wonders night, write a list of the kind of future you see for yourself, for your home, the kind of marriage you are expecting. Under it, write the date when you want it to happen. For those who are not yet married, for those who are married, what is your family's expectation? What are you trusting God for? Maybe for your children, maybe for your wife and yourself. Maybe a new level of marital dignity or marital supplies and resources. Can put it down. We shall present them tomorrow. Please, let's make it an agenda of the Worship and Wonders night. No matter how busy the night is, you will be remembered for being here tonight. And if you are watching online and you participated in this service, you can come also physically with your own expectations, and the Lord will do it for you. Now lift up your two hands now. So this is a prayer ahead of tomorrow night. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, I pray for everyone here as I take authority over every anti-marital demon, every demonic spell, demonic curse, the curse of polygamy, the curse of incest, the curse of marital failure, marital frustration, water spirit spells. Stop and spirit curses.
Those dedicated to altars that says they can never be married. Today, that's right.
I declare your liberty in the name of Jesus. Be free! Be free! Be free! In Jesus' name!
I announce to you right now the grace to proceed and live the kind of home that God envisions and pictures for you.
The grace
to live in the home that is God's plan for your life.
Receive it now in the name of Jesus.
So shall it be. And so shall it be. And so shall it be.
And so shall it be.
Every encounter overnight that will establish you maritally, I declare it is released for you. Every strange wedding ring on your hand in the realm of the spirit,
I declare it removed, 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 removed. Every covenant with a spirit husband, a spirit wife, and spirit children, break, 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 break now. Break, 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 break. Help out there, Mahashada Gayalala. Lepe help out there, Ramana Gayagada Gayalala. Hashka. Lepe rete kesika ya 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 ya. Break, break. In the name of Jesus.
You are not pregnant, and you are not seeing your menstrual cycle. That attack on your fertility is arrested. So shall it be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Stretch your two hands in front of you. I prophesy upon your hands. I decree that the harvest will look for you from the north and the south, the east and the west. Shikoba katakala kamata mata 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 mata. Thank you, Master. It's a new day and it's a new season for you. In Jesus' precious name, under the next 30 days, miracle relationships shall spark up. Marital wine shall be established. Whatever the enemy has used to cover your life, that cover is roasted by fire.